Extra, extra, extra.
Point of discussion with Becky and Kong.
Okay, well, it's the end of 2023.
What happened?
Already. It's gone. But today we are going to talk about what Nikon released this year, celebrate it, and say how much impact it had on you as photographers, on our photographic lives, and just overall on Nikon as a Nikon corporation. No financials in there.
No, this is all about the consumer products and the things that actually interest you and I, not Nikon financials. So let's start with our first announcement of the year, which was January 5th.
So early.
So early on in the year, and Nikon announced that they were developing the 85 1.2S lens.
You know, I think Nikon just woke up on the 5th of January after the New Year's party and said, oh, I forgot that thing before Christmas.
Whoops. They also announced the development of the 26mm f2.8 pancake lens.
Yes, us portrait photographers got really excited about 81.2. And as we called year 2022, the year of wildlife photography with all the long lenses releases, finally we got something that we were craving for a very long time. And on top of it, it was also 1.2 and not 1.4.
That's right. A stunning lens. The 26mm, obviously, also very exciting for street photographers and is a lens that, now that it's out in the world, we know is very popular for pairing with your small, light travel setup.
So a month later, after the announcements, on 7th of February, they officially announced that they're coming and they're not being developed anymore. So let's talk about the H5 a little bit.
Yes. This was designed to be the prime lens to end all primes, in that if you were a portrait photographer, a studio photographer, a beauty, fashion, etc., then this would be the lens for you. We managed to have a little play with it.
Yes, it's so popular that actually they've been out of stock for so long that even us, we had quite a bit of waiting list just to get our hands on one for a day or so. But when we tested it, we were surprised not by optical quality, which kind of was expected from a latest generation glass tech. But what we're excited about is the speed of autofocus, because portrait lenses in general are quite slow focusing lenses. They're big and heavy with a lot of heavy elements inside them, and they generally are fairly slow, or kind of from slow to medium in terms of focusing speed. And we were saying that, let's say, if you need fast focusing, then get 70-200 2.8. Generally, that will focus much faster and it will give you fairly shallow depth of field. Now, H5 1.2 will give you super fast focusing at 1.2, but also a very sharp image wide open.
That's right. Now, if we move on to the 26mm f2.8, which was announced on the same day and came out just a few weeks before and wasn't so hard to get in stock, thankfully, this was a lens which I think changed the way that Nikon Z photographers were doing street photography. We had the small plastic 28mm f2.8 muffin lens, as we called them, because they're not quite pancake, and the 40mm f2. The 26 was a little bit of a curveball because Nikon have never produced a 26mm prime before like this. And this was a proper slim pancake lens, which quality-wise actually slightly outperformed the 28.
But at a price. So it was double the price of 28mm f2.8. Mm-hmm. And while it's smaller and lighter, actually the focusing of this lens is noisier than on 28mm lens. And if you're focusing closer, you'll see that the front element will actually extend quite a bit. So comes with the caveats. It's actually a better lens with a proper metal mount compared to 28. But in our tests, I ended up with a 28mm f2.8. And even if mine breaks, which I've never seen a broken plastic mount lens, I mean, you really have to throw them around. But even if mine breaks, I will get another one and still we'll pay half the price of 26. Doesn't mean that 26 is bad. Very exciting lens, especially if you pair it with a nice and small body. But yes, you have to think twice because of the price.
Mm-hmm. Now, at the same time, on that day, Nikon also released a black version of their ZFC, which is their retro-styled APS-C or DX crop camera.
This Boo! And the reason I'm booing it is because it was exclusive to Nikon store, Nikon online store, which is called Nikon Direct, and it was not available for the dealers. So one of the things that we found what Nikon is doing this year is they're trying to gatekeep certain products for themselves. It seems like it's now a strategy from Nikon, and you just need to be aware of that.
We're saying nothing else.
We will see you in front of Nikon headquarters in Japan on 1st of January, 2024. Bring your pitchforks and torches.
Anyway, moving swiftly on, we get to April. There was no news in March, but in April on the 18th, we had the release of a surprise lens, which was the DXZ1228 Power Zoom.
Zoom, 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 zoom.
Now, this is an ultra-wide lens for DX sensor cameras and ended up being paired in a kit form with the Z30, which was released in 2022, and also a popular choice on the ZFC and the Z50.
Yes, if you ever shot with DX cameras, one of the main problems with DX cameras, well, they can take full-frame lenses. Because of 1.5 crop, your, let's say, 28mm lens becomes 42. So it becomes a bit difficult to get to the wide-angle side of things. And for that, they have to release the lenses dedicated for this specific sensor. So 1228 is the first wide-angle DX lens that goes that wide on Nikon mirrorless system. Now, obviously, they have 14 to 30 and 14 to 24 for full frame. Those are a little bigger and heavier. Another feature of this lens was power zoom, which was aimed at Z30 people, and Z30 was aimed at vloggers. So 1228, because it has power zoom, it allows you for slightly smoother zooming in and zooming out function when you shoot in video. Now, obviously, that caused a little bit of a discussion in terms of, do Nikon need to release a classic photographer's lens, which would have a focusing ring as well as zoom ring, or Nikon should just leave it as it is. The result of this year, power zoom still here. We haven't seen any other DX wide angle zoom, and it's probably will stay like this for some time.
I would think so. The other advantage of power zoom is that you can control it remotely through SnapBridge or through a remote release. So if you are filming remotely on a tripod, then you can pretty much control every element of your lens, including zooming in and zooming out. So handy technology if video is your jam.
All right, now moving on to May, Nikon announced a banger, a Nikon Z8, the camera that everyone was waiting for since sliced bread.
This launch actually occurred in the UK. The UK's Photo London at Somerset House was the location for the official worldwide release, which was very exciting because we were able to be there in person.
We were live streaming from the event. So if you haven't seen that video, if you want to get the excitement of the announcement, definitely check out this video.
That's right. Now, the Z8 probably doesn't need much introduction. Most of you who are regular viewers of this channel will know exactly what we think of that camera and how it pretty much changed the Z game altogether by that point. The only issue, of course, was the fact that it wasn't freely available in stock from day one. Wasn't too bad.
It wasn't too bad. Obviously, it's expected to sell more than Nikon Z9. And the speculation before the release was, is it going to be a higher resolution camera that I thought is going to be? And my reasoning for that was a D6 and D850 analogy. And a lot of people expect it to be a mini Z9. And effectively, it's ended up being a mini Z9 because it does a lot what Nikon Z9 does without the built-in grip. Obviously, Z9 is better in certain things, but the difference is reasonably small, so only, let's say, a very minority of people who really need this extra performance of the camera, they would choose Z9, and obviously for the form factors as well. But overall, Z8 was smaller, cheaper, lighter camera that would do a lot that Nikon Z9 would do for a smaller price.
That's right. Now, unfortunately, in June, we had our first service advisory on the Z8, which meant that folks who had already gotten their hands on one generally may have to send it back. The service advisory in this case was a lens mounting issue where some lenses may or may not mount on the camera. It seemed to affect only a small number of Z8s, but in order to err on the side of caution and make sure that nobody had a potentially affected model, Nikon had most of those models sent back for a very quick fix in their service advisory center and then sent back out to the customers again.
That would be it. And normally people would send their cameras to Nikon and then would come back to them. The problem was that after the first recall in June, in August, they had a second recall, and that's to do with the lugs of the camera. So it's popped up on the Facebook groups originally, and then it started to be reported everywhere else. And about a couple of weeks later, Nikon officially came out with a recall on that. They told us to tug their lugs, as we all did. and see if it sees correctly, then your camera wouldn't be affected. But and if it obviously comes out, then your camera is faulty.
Many of those who had already sent their Z8 cameras for a service advisory for the lens mount issue had to resend their camera for the strap plug issue. Some people were lucky enough to have both issues checked when their camera was sent off, but there were unfortunately a fair few that had to send their cameras off twice, yeah, which kind of dampened the experience of the Z8 a little bit, but overall still a fantastic performer.
You know, back in the day, we thought, is that what's going to define Nikon Z8 in the history of the cameras, similar to D600, we're going to say, oh, it's a dust issue or something like this. But surprisingly, we kind of forgot about that issue.
We did.
Very, very quickly, especially, you know, like in October, November, it's like never happened, which is very interesting to me. That means that the camera is so good and it's still selling well that people don't care about the minimum issues as long as the product is good, isn't it? As long as the user experience is good. So obviously, summer was a little bit of a kind of a dark patch for Nikon, and the rumor is that it may have delayed the further releases, and Nikon ZF is rumored to be delayed because of the recall. We don't have any confirmation, but as a, you know, at the chats online and all over the world, that seems was the case. Now,
if we move back to June, then on June 7th, we actually had the release of the 24 1.7 DX Prime lens. So another DX lens for Nikon's lineup.
We've recently released a review of that lens. So if you haven't checked it out yet, we will pop the link in the description below.
That's right. But we also got a firmware update for the Nikon Z9 on June 13th. This was around the time when we were getting announcements every week from Nikon, and it was very exciting. This was firmware version 4.0.
And the big one.
It was the big one. This was the one that everyone was waiting for after the Z8 had been announced to see what Nikon would add to the Z9 to sort of bump it up in status. And they definitely got some exciting goodies in there.
So we've jumped from version 3.1 to 4.0, and that brought a lot of good stuff for stills photography, for video recording, some control functionality, as well as playback. A huge list. We've covered it in our Nikon report, so do check it out. And obviously, right now, we have a version of firmware 4.1, and we still have things that may come to Nikon Z9, like pixel shift, like skin softening functionality, and all other things that other cameras have and Nikon Z9 doesn't.
Then on June 21st, we had two surprise lens announcements, one that everyone had been waiting for an awfully long time and another one that no one was expecting.
All right, let's talk about the good one. So the Z180 to 600 lens, it's basically a replacement of F-mount version of 200 to 500. It goes slightly wider than 200 and it also goes slightly longer than 500 mil. And it's a native mount lens, which means autofocus is really fast. I mean, the feedback has been fantastic on this lens. It's still out of stock.
Yes. Now, at the time of recording, it's still not freely available, which is something to bear in mind. But imagine you're watching this at the end of 2024 and 180 to 600, you could just walk into a shop and buy one. That's the dream.
Yes, we've tested this lens. We enjoyed it. It's on the budget side of things, but for the cost, it gives you a really good performance. Obviously, wildlife photography can get really, really expensive. That's the thing. Those lenses can cost tens of thousands of pounds. So if you're looking at that scale and you want a native product, then definitely Nikon Z1H600 lens is a great choice. We now have Tamron lens, which competes in that space.
Yeah, which is the 150 to 500.
It's not the same though.
No.
So do try them both out.
That's right.
Speaking of Tamron,
we also got this surprise lens, which was the 70 to 180 f2.8, and that completed the affordable f2.8 zoom lenses. So we now have 17 to 28, 28 to 75, and 70 to 180. The beauty of the Nikon Z70 to 180, much like the 180 to 600, is that it also takes teleconverters. So you can increase the magnification and also the distance with the 70 to 180 lens. Very, very interesting.
It's also a quite close focusing lens as well.
Mm-hmm. It's also small and light. So if you're looking for an affordable travel option, but f2.8 that gives you that slight telephoto range that works with teleconverters, then it's worth considering if you're not looking for a professional grade lens. And overall, image quality wise, we found it to be pretty good. Our reviews are on the channel and we'll include a link for you.
Yes, the short story is we've compared the two and actually center sharpness is really good. Yes, 70-200 is a better lens in terms of weather sealants and just overall performance. But if you just look at the image quality, they're very, very close.
They are. Now, as we discussed, August, the only news really was the Z8 strap plug issue. So if we skip August and go to September, the September 20th saw the launch of the ZF full-frame retro mirrorless camera.
What a beauty, Becky.
Yes. Now, it feels like this camera has been with us for quite a long time, but it was only announced a few months ago. I was sort of shocked.
And that is the rhetoric camera we all waited for. So when ZFC was released, we all said, well, it's nice, but give me a call when you get a full frame version. And in September, they finally did. And it kind of brought all love and joy and just cheer to a lot of photographers who suddenly started to think about their cameras as a photography taking tools and not just specifications and megapixels. A lot of people who shot film consider this camera. A lot of people who had their professional Z8 and Z9 consider ZF as their fun camera as well. There is no other full-frame camera in this form factor that can compete with Nikon in this case. If you want a full-frame retro-designed SLR, the only answer is Nikon. You have retro cameras available for you in a DX format from Fujifilm, and you also have a rangefinder camera from Leica. And in terms of this, the Leica camera costs about 3 times the price of Nikon ZF. So a lot of things going here. Obviously, marketing was really smart. The sales of this camera, just looking at our sales alone, are great. And the feedback has been very positive. Obviously, it's been a retro camera. The retro controls and design could be a little bit challenging for some people who are used to their modern cameras nowadays. But overall feedback is try this camera first. If you like the controls, if you like the knobs and dials, then definitely get it. If not, maybe either get a modern camera or wait for the next year. And hopefully we'll get some Z6 3s and 7 Mark 3s at some point.
Maybe. Now on September the 27th, which was a week after the ZF, we actually had the announcement of the 135 f1.8 S planar. So when we said the 85 1.2 was the be-all end-all of primes, then the 135 came out and knocked it out of the park. This is a phenomenal lens. Nikon actually did a teaser a week beforehand with lots of light bubbles and the word planar, not actually explaining what it meant, but when it arrived and we found out that it was a 135 1.8 with this magical bokeh and light trapping capabilities, we were all terrifically excited.
Absolutely. The bubblicious bokeh is real. Now, a few months ago, the trademark of planar came up and we were speculating about this because the rumor was that Nikon may get into the videography territory and release a bunch of PL mount lenses. That didn't happen. We've got a beautiful prime lens instead. And now a lot of people are pondering, do they need to get 85 1.2 or 135 1.8 first?
Or both.
And that's the right answer right here. But overall, if you haven't got 85, get maybe 85 first because it's just a little bit more versatile. But if you do have 85 already, maybe not 1.2, but the previous generation 1.4G, and you really want to try 135, then consider that. But again, try it out first. I mean, they're both quite expensive lenses. They're both beautiful lenses, and the rendering that they produce is fantastic. And obviously, the 135 has a little bit more character, I would say, than 85. But try it out, test it for yourself, and that will be a deciding factor.
So then came October, and with it came the 600 6.3. So although we thought maybe the year of telephotos was 2022, we still got some in 2023.
It never ends.
No. So this is a super telephoto, lightweight prime lens. Many people call it the 600PF, but it's not actually a phase Fresnel lens. It is a 6.3 aperture though.
Yes. So we now have a holy trinity of light lenses in a long range. So just like 17-28, 28-75 and 70-180 on 2.8 range, now we have small equivalents of 400, 600, 800 lens that are cheaper in price, again, for wildlife lenses. The 600 F4 is priced at £15,500. So 600 at 6.3 at £5,000 is a relative bargain, if you can call it bargain in a way.
That's right. And it's also smaller and lighter. So if you are struggling with the heavy weight of those long telephoto lenses and you don't want to carry around something very, very hefty, then the 600 is really worth looking at. This is a lovely lens, and this rounded out our lens releases for 2023.
Until November the 16th, when Nikon announced a celebration of its 90th anniversary of Nikko lenses.
Good.
90 years.
90 years.
It's been a while.
It has. And what a great 90 years it has been.
You and us were there along the way for all 90 years. And I agree, what a great 90 years. I mean, they've released so many good lenses there, so many rare and obscure lenses, like 6mm f2.8, mm-hmm. like 13mm f5.6.
Yes.
Maybe you can come up with some lenses. That would be nice.
Yes, and more recent icons like the 58mm f0.95 Noct lens.
And let Nikko lenses reign over us for at least another 10 years so we can hit that 100 years anniversary. Not sure about Becky, but I'll be here probably. Yeah. And that's been a good year. Tell us what you think about Nikon releases over this year, your experience with it. What have you bought from all those releases? What are you planning to buy next year?
Tell us what your favorites are in the comments below. And don't forget to like and subscribe.
Has it been a good year for Nikon and good year for you? We'll see you next year with our predictions for the latest and greatest from Nikon.
Stay tuned for our predictions.
Stay tuned for our predictions in a couple of days. Or weeks, I don't know.
Months or years, we don't know.
We don't know.